Well, I want to welcome you to another one of our summer chapels today, and our speaker today is Dr. Daniel Steffen. Dr. Steffen finished the THM in New Testament studies in 1986 and began teaching in Bolivia, South America. He taught New Testament courses for 9 years in Bolivia and then 7 years in Guatemala at the Central American Theological Seminary. He finished the PhD in New Testament studies in 2001. He moved his family back to the United States in 2004 and has served as a pastor and seminary educator. He continues to serve as a visiting faculty member of numerous Spanish-speaking seminaries in Central and South America. He most recently served 5 years as the pastor of a bilingual church in Tucson, Arizona, before serving the Dallas Theological Seminary Spanish program. We are delighted that Dr. Steffen can be with us today.
I want to invite everyone to open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to give you some time to do that. Please look in whatever Bible apparatus you wish, because we're going to be reading a passage, 1 Peter chapter 1, and then I'm going to explain why I'm in a raincoat and carrying an umbrella. Way back in 1952, Gene Kelly and Debbie Reynolds delighted audiences in movie theaters for the first time with an extremely memorial movie and song called Singing in the Rain. In the most memorial scene, Gene Kelly was not wearing a raincoat, so I'm going to take this off. Just after Gene Kelly says goodbye to Debbie Reynolds, the love of his life, and he is so in love and he is so happy, he walks out on the street, and there it is raining and pouring buckets of rain, and he just closes his umbrella and he starts to sing and dance. And here's what he sings. He says, "I'm singing in the rain." Just a few of the words. "Singing in the rain, what a glorious feeling. I'm happy again. I'm laughing at the clouds so dark up above, 'cause the sun's in my heart and I'm ready for love. Let the stormy clouds chase everyone from the place. Come on with the rain, I've a smile on my face. I'll walk down the lane with a happy refrain, 'cause I'm singing, just singing in the rain." Now, I realize that this is just a happy-go-lucky song at a period of great optimism in our history, and that the events of this year, 2020, have been quite a bit more disastrous for many of us. Throughout the world, people are suffering greatly. And it's a time of not just of not happiness, but for many people of mourning and lament as loved ones have died. The unemployment creating great suffering for many. And then in addition, in the United States, as we search for our own soul when it comes to racial equality and the voices that cry out for justice and for the victims of abuse and discrimination. This year has been a little bit more like the rain that Forrest Gump described in Vietnam. One day it started raining, didn't quit for 4 months. We've been through every kind of rain there is. Little tiny, bitty, stinging rain, a big old fat rain, rain that flew in sideways, and sometimes rain even seemed to come straight up from underneath. It even rained at night. If you have your Bibles open to 1 Peter chapter 1, I just want to read a few verses here. Verse 6, "In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. Would you say a short prayer with me? Father, thank you so much for these words of the Apostle Peter. In the midst of great suffering, even discrimination, and possibly martyrs and death, Apostle Peter gives us great reasons to rejoice in the middle of great pain and even mourning, reasons to rejoice and even sing in the rain. May you give us, encourage us by the power of your Spirit to continue to maintain our joy and our faith in the middle of such difficult circumstances. Apostle Peter was writing to an audience that knew about suffering, knew about pain, discrimination, being treated unfairly. Christians at that time were a minority. There's every evidence in the book of 1 Peter, in this letter, that the pressure, maybe great unemployment, the suffering was unfair at times, and Christians were mistreated. And then, even though in this great circumstance of suffering, Peter encourages them with the words that we have read. And very simply, and you can even write these down, very simply gives four reasons why it's possible for Christians to have great joy, even though they're suffering greatly. And these reasons should encourage us to even continue to sing in the rain. I'm going to give you these four, and you can just look at them and write them down if you wish. They're fairly simple. In verse 6, Peter explains that even though trials are difficult, they don't last. They're just momentary. Verse 6 says, "In this you greatly rejoice." Why? Well, because even though now for a little while it's necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. No matter how difficult things are, we can even look back in history and know that difficult times do not last. They're only momentary. And these things will pass, and they'll pass quickly. Then Peter says, not only are trials momentary, but that in verse 7, they result in the fact that our faith is molded. Verse 7 starts this way, "So that the proof of your faith, being much more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." It is easy to say that we have sufficient faith to face any and all trials, but until those trials happen, we don't really know for sure. Peter uses an image here that is quite easy to understand, that when gold is purified, it has to be melted. When they mine gold and they take the gold out of the ground or the rock, it contains impurities. And in order to refine and purify gold, it's necessary to melt it, to put it into some sort of mold in which it heats to a temperature in which the gold melts, and then all of the impurities will just float to the top, and it is just possible to scrape off the top all of those impurities, and what's left then is much more pure gold. The trial of fire, the heat, and the has now resulted in much more pure gold. When I was a missionary for a long time in the country of Bolivia, I had a student, a young man who was a pastor, had a family with children, a poor man, lived in a very small church out in a rural area. So went to my seminary as a student, trying to improve his ability to minister in his church. And I remember very well when we found out that this poor man's wife had died in childbirth, giving birth to another child. I went to the funeral, had a chance to weep and cry with this young man, who now not only had more children to take care of, but now was going to do it without his wife, who he had lost. And I kept thinking, it is easy for me to say that I had faith sufficient to rejoice and to trust in a good God that loved me, even though I would lose my wife and be plunged into even greater need and poverty. That has never happened to me, but that young pastor, that man, could say that. He could say, yet, even though I have lost so much, I still believe that God is good. God loves me. Faith is purified by allowing us the opportunity to trust in God in the midst of great suffering, of loss. The second half of verse 7, Peter gives us a third reason why it's possible to rejoice and to sing in the rain. The third reason is that the rewards are multiplied. Rewards are multiplied. We read these verses, that the proof of your faith, and then at the end of verse 7, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. These are words of rewards. These are words that Jesus Christ will say to those who are faithful in the midst of difficulties, and they have persevered and they maintain their faith and their faithfulness and their service to Jesus, even though the times were difficult and there were suffering. Matthew 25, Jesus says words very similar to this. When the master returns and finds his servants to be faithful, and he proclaims, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come, share your master's happiness." Then finally, in verses 8 and 9, we find a fourth reason why it's possible to rejoice, to even sing in the rain. And that is because salvation is maintained. Salvation is maintained. We just read with me very quickly verses 8 and 9. "And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith salvation of your souls." This chapter is full of assurances that salvation is guarded, it is protected, that as a result of belief in Jesus Christ, if you have believed with all your heart that Jesus died for your sins and rose again to give you eternal life, then you have eternal life. And that's nothing that can be taken away from you. I could be robbed. My house could be burned down. My family might die of this disease. But there's one thing I know for sure. As a result of trusting in my Lord Jesus Christ, who died and rose again to give me eternal life, to forgive me for my sins, I have eternal life. It's nothing that can be ever be taken from me. It is as sure as these promises we have that we can find in this chapter. As I said before, we were missionaries for quite a few years in the country of Bolivia in South America. And I can remember very well one evening that my youngest son, his name was Isaiah, and he came home from school one day when he was in first grade in the missionary school that he went to. And that year in first grade had gotten complicated and difficult. Back when he was in kindergarten, the teachers asked him to memorize verses of the Bible. But in first grade, the trials got more difficult. And he not only had to memorize now entire verses, but he had to know where he found the verses. I mean, he had to cite the book and the chapter and the verse. So he came home one evening and he was working on a memory verse. And my wife had asked him, "Isaiah, can you repeat your memory verse?" And he perfectly recited his verse. He said, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." And then my wife asked Isaiah, I said, "Isaiah, and where do you find that verse?" And without any hesitation, he said, "On that piece of paper you're holding in your hand, Mom." Isaiah may not have known that that verse is found in Psalm 118, verse 24. There's a lot of things that he might not have known, but he knew life was difficult. And there were days in which he was going to have troubles and trials. Things were going to be difficult. But he knew that every day was a day that was in God's control. It was according to his love and care for him, and a day for rejoicing. If we were live in a real chapel and we could actually pray for you, it would be my great privilege to pray for you. We at Dallas Seminary are concerned, and we do pray. If there's any way that you can contact me, send me a message. Be willing to pray for you. We know the times are difficult. The rain is pouring and sometimes overwhelming for many people. We would pray that God would keep you healthy and safe, fill you with hope and rejoicing, because times are momentary. Trials are not going to last. Our faith is being molded. Rewards are being multiplied, and our salvation is maintained. God bless. Amen.